Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It would help if I unmuted my microphone. That's funny. That's really funny. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Southside Beat. That is the funniest thing I've seen. My name is Corey Christen. Monday, March 25th, 2024. I am not doing the intro again. No Chris Halleck today. You thought you were going to have Chris and not Corey today. But that microphone should be working now. No, it's not you all. It's me. It's me. We're back. This is Monday. This is Monday after I get back from a week-long trip. Longer than I expected. In Omaha, Nebraska, with Duquesne Hoops making it to the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament. Had a lot of fun out in the Midwest, but now we're back talking Steelers football. Chris is currently in Orlando, Florida, where the owners' meetings in the NFL are taking place. And Omar Khan just met with reporters about a half hour ago. They just wrapped up, you know, not long before this show started. And a few moves to be made, but also we have to talk about the kind of pecking order and the status of the quarterback room as described by both Khan and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin spoke yesterday, of course. Chris wrote a story. It's on the top of the site at DK Pittsburgh Sports on the Steelers page. And talking about the quote-unquote definitive plan at quarterback, and that's talking about Russell Wilson and, of course, Justin Fields. Now, the terminology that was used by Tomlin was pole positioning, that Russell Wilson is in the pole position to be the starting quarterback of the Steelers this year. But that's not going to leave out Justin Fields. And to me, my biggest takeaway of what Tomlin said about Fields v. Wilson was that it just seems that they're planning for Fields to be the future sooner rather than later. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to beat Russell Wilson out in training camp. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to take over the starting job at some point this season over Russell Wilson, but it's very clear that they think very highly of Justin Fields and want to find a way to get him on the football field sooner than later. Now, whether that's obviously packages or anything like they could run for him, you know, we'll see. Tenchi mentions, who are some day two offensive tackles that you would want the Steelers to draft? And that's going to shift the conversation, given what happened today, into, well, the Steelers probably aren't going to draft a quarterback after all. Omar Khan told reporters today they agreed to terms with quarterback Kyle Allen, who, of course, has been a backup at various spots. But now the Steelers have three quarterbacks on the roster between Wilson, Fields, who obviously are going to be vying to start and vying for the future of the position, and then Kyle Allen. So the Steelers now have three quarterbacks on that roster. Unless there's a day three flyer taking on a quarterback, they're not going to draft one at this stage. So this is the plan right now. And Mike Tomlin talked about a definitive plan at the position. Now back to Tenchi's question, what are some day two offensive tackles that the Steelers, that I would want the Steelers to draft? The top name for me in that pool is Roger Rosengarten out of Washington. I love the size. I love the frame. I love how he moves. I think he'd be a true right tackle. I think he could be someone. He almost reminds me of like a Rob Havenstein, who the Rams drafted not too long ago, to play right tackle. And he was a day two pick. Rob Havenstein, really solid tackle for the Rams, has been there for, you know, or at least was, I don't know if he still is, but was pretty much a mainstay on that right side for some time in LA. So I like him. I like Rosengarten. That's the top name. Laurie asks, are Brandon Ayuk dreams over? Now, John Lynch talked about, of course, GM of the 49ers talked about Brandon Ayuk. And look, it seems like the dream is over, but at the same time, right, in this league, you can never say never. Now John Lynch really shot down the trade rumors, and he said he was at, you know, Michigan's pro day with Mike Tomlin. And John Lynch was like, we got nothing, you know. So it sounds like the 49ers are going to work something out with Brandon Ayuk. But again, in this business, in this industry, with this league, you can never say never. All right, Omar Khan again spoke with reporters about half hour ago, and we might have a live look in. Let's see if we have him. I got to change up the banner. Do we have you, Chris? Hello, Chris.
What's up?
Chris Alec joins us live. Check that out. Chris, you missed it. I was on mute the first, 45 seconds of the show. Good professional moment for me getting back from Omaha, Nebraska. Chris is in Orlando.
I am.
Hello, Omar Khan. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, so he touched on a variety of topics. I just put a bunch of it in the Steelers feed. If I cut out, by the way, again, NFL event, Wi-Fi, I mean, it is what it is. It's actually not been that bad so far, but then today it's been a little worse for wear, pretty much. The big thing that the first thing he came out with was the new signings. He confirmed the Quez Watkins, and then he announced the signing of Dean Lowry and Kyle Allen. So they got themselves a third quarterback now, and added more depth to the defensive line by doing that. I asked him specifically about the center position, how they plan to address that, how they've gone about it so far. And as of right now, I mean, I was kind of surprised whenever he said, like, not just all options are on the table, but specifically mentioned free agency, trade, or the draft. And so they could still be looking at all of that stuff when it comes to how they address center. So that one was pretty interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting, you know, just because there's obviously been so much conversation about obviously the quarterback shakeup and everything like that. Whenever the last time Mike Tomlin talked and he talked that Kenny Pickett was the only guy, they had full faith in the guy. And now it's Kenny Pickett's nowhere to be found, and it's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And so now, you know, you hear Mike Tomlin say, well, I don't think it was as dramatic as, you know, people might have perceived it. And Omar said something really interesting, and he said, well, nothing changed with my faith in Kenny Pickett. I still have a lot of faith in Kenny Pickett. It's just obviously their circumstance changed as soon as they got Russell Wilson. They were kind of, you know, Kenny asked to get out. Now, I'm kind of adding in my own words there, but, you know, circumstances kind of forced their hand. And so since they had already been having conversations with the Bears about Justin Fields, that then allowed them to re-engage in those talks. And so that's when, okay, well, Kenny wants out, we can trade him and we can bring in Justin. And so that's what ended up happening. So another big thing, pretty much said without saying it, but pretty much said that they're going to add to the receiver room, that they're not done. So Watkins is not the last addition that they're going to make, whether that's a free agent signing, a trade. I know that, you know, John Lynch shot down the Brandon Ayuk rumors today, and then Brandon Ayuk says, you know, money talks, BS walks, you know, on Instagram.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand that that's out there, and that's going to remain out there. So it is what it is. But, you know, the draft to me looks like a great opportunity to add. I think you even put in the comments, better learn how to talk Roman Wilson or something like that. And, lots of good stuff from Omar Khan today. We kind of had an abbreviated meeting with him. Yesterday's meeting with Tomlin was about 30 minutes, and today with Omar was about 15 minutes. They're obviously in between meetings and all this stuff. In terms of actual business here, the Steelers actually have a proposal on the table to move the trade deadline back That is going to be voted on tomorrow. So we will find that out tomorrow. Obviously, today the big news was the hip drop, the swivel hip drop tackle being banned. So, you know, a couple of actual business that's being done here, and the Steelers' proposal to move the trade deadline back is still on the table, still being discussed. And Omar Khan said it should be voted on tomorrow. So,
yeah,
That's my news dump.
That's good. No, that's great stuff. And there's a lot to unpack. Yeah, I said get ready to learn Roman Wilson, buddy, because like that's the guy that Mike Tomlin's kind of been hounding in this whole draft process, I think. And of course, just went to Michigan's pro day, so that's a very top of mind name in the draft. But again, as we've talked last week a little bit, and the week before certainly, after they traded Deontay Johnson, like receiver in the first round's back on the table. But as of right now, it sounds like quarterback is off the table, at least in the draft, especially with the signing of Kyle Allen. But with all of the talk about Russell Wilson being in pole position to start, of course, with Justin Fields and kind of the inner workings of getting him here and now what they perceive of him, it sounds like to me that quarterback's going to kind of be off the table for a bit after Kyle Allen signed, and they're going to feel this thing out between Wilson and Fields.
Well, I think, you know, the Steelers, and when you sit in these meetings with Mike Tomlin and especially with Omar Khan, and there's only so many availabilities with Omar Khan throughout the year, but, you know, he mentioned it multiple times, you know, they're looking at 2024 right now. And they're not looking at it with complete blinders on for the future, because if they were, they would be making moves that were way more all in than they're making. So they do have to keep an eye out for the future, but it's a very, very distant eye. They are looking at this year. And so when you look at like the quarterback position, they got Russell Wilson, they got Justin Fields, they got the veteran guy who, if he can find a fountain of youth or, you know, and Mike Tomlin expressed this morning a lot of certainty that Russell Wilson saw has plenty in the tank, but and just in case that doesn't work, they got themselves a high upside guy in Justin Fields, who might all he might need is the right offense to just take off into being a superstar. And Arthur Smith's offense, you would think, would be a nice fit because Justin Fields isn't going to be asked, or no quarterback is going to be asked to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders because it's a run first offense. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look at that, it's like, okay, well, it makes a lot of sense for them to just look at Kyle Allen or you know, a guy like that, bring him in as a third guy. And then that way they can really use their remaining, whether salary cap space or, you know, trade assets or draft picks to address actual needs on this roster, because they still have a lot. One of the reasons why I specifically asked about center, because to me that looks like the biggest position of need right now when you're looking at this roster. You know, they added, they're good at cornerback. I wouldn't say they're good at cornerback, but they at least got two starting cornerbacks. And Mike Tomlin, again, this morning said he's very confident, literally two words to the question that I asked, very confident in Joey Porter Jr. and Dante Jackson. So like, okay, there you go. You know, and you know, you look at everywhere else, they're adding more depth to the defensive line. They added a third quarterback that gives them the freedom to do what they need to do now. Because the NFL, just the way it's structured, allows you to kind of shift course a lot easier than it is in other sports, you know, with the way you can structure contracts, with certain amount of contracts being, you know, a certain amount of money being guaranteed. You can, you know, sign a guy to a 2-year deal, but then you can structure it in a way where, okay, after it doesn't work out after a year, then, you know, bye-bye, see ya, you know, appreciate your contribution here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, receiver and center seem like the two big things, but then I still think tackle is the fact that Mike Tomlin was non-committal when it came to where Broderick Jones is going to play. And then you add that into the context of Omar Khan saying that we drafted and play left tackle. To me, that kind of tells me tackle's still pretty high on their radar, at least when it comes to possibly looking at the draft.
Mm-hmm. And one of the bigger signings, of course, that we heard from a couple weeks ago was Patrick Queen. And Mike Tomlin said some really beaming things about Patrick Queen. Of course, we knew about the affinity he had for him when he was in Baltimore. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made a comment to Patrick Queen like he made, basically saying, you're on the wrong side.
I asked him about that yesterday. He did not want to. I asked him, I was like, can you tell your side of the story on that? He goes, I can, but I won't. and it just, he kind of did that thing. And then he did that Mike Tomlin chuckle afterwards.
Yeah.
And then he ended up saying it was just more of a tip of the cap type thing. It was just more of a respect thing. You know, so there's some gamesmanship that's going on there too. You know, coaches and players all have that banter, that trash talk and everything like that. But he said it's ultimately a tip of the cap. It's obviously a guy that Mike Tomlin's wanted for a long time. And I got him.
Mm-hmm. When Mike Tomlin was talking about Russell Wilson, and specifically his time in Denver, he didn't seem too concerned about like the deficiency, so to speak. He seems pretty confident just from hearing him speak that Wilson can rejuvenate in a way in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he didn't sound at all like it, just almost like, I mean, he actually used the phrase, I couldn't care less what happened. And so, you know, I think that's, he was, you know, to put that into context, I don't think that that's referring to the reason why the Broncos were willing to eat $85 million in salary cap or in dead cap to get Russell Wilson to go away, you know. But, you know, it was asked specifically in the context of like on-field performance. And he just showed a lot of confidence in, you know, knowing who Russell Wilson is and confidence in their plan with what they're doing on offense. And, you know, obviously didn't want to tip his hand, didn't want to, you know, tell everybody exactly what they're doing. And, you know, honestly, why would you? Why are you going to, you know, give the other 31 teams a leg up on what you might be doing when you're installing essentially a brand new offense, because you have a new experienced offensive coordinator who's had success at this level as an offensive coordinator. You're installing a new offense with, you know, two quarterbacks that fit what they want to do. That's going to be a run first offense. They still have some holes to fill. They got to upgrade at center. They need to add to the receiver room. And, but yeah, Mike Tomlin's, it didn't surprise me at all that he's showing the utmost trust and in Russell Wilson's abilities.
Mm-hmm. He also seems to be showing a lot of trust to Dante Jackson. And there was a question, I forget who asked it about, you know, does he foresee Dante Jackson as an appropriate CB2 opposite Joey Porter Jr.? And it sounds like Mike Tomlin's excited about that idea.
Yeah, I think so. He didn't specifically mention it, but whenever I asked, you know, about, you know, the two corners being Joey Porter Jr. and Dante Jackson, and he just gave me a very, you know, a two word answer. He's very confident in it. You know, okay, well then that's pretty much all you need to know. Then there's no reason to speculate or anything else like that. Now, obviously, if they have an opportunity, and this is why you go into the draft, you know, with as much flexibility as possible, because if they can take, if somehow they do trade for a center and all of a sudden center looks a lot better, or they acquire, let's just say that the Brandon Ayuk stuff from John Lynch is BS and they do end up trading that. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but for whatever reason, they end up getting another really good receiver, somebody who is definitely a wide receiver two, or maybe in a wide receiver one, you know, and that kind of moves George Pickens down the depth chart. And you're like, no matter what, like, I completely lost my train of thought there.
It's okay. Same here, man. I'm still getting back today.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now. Yeah.
Are you standing?
I am standing right now. I am. Yeah. I'm in the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton here. So
nice. Looks good.
I forgot where I was going with that thought, but
that's okay.
If somebody can help me out in the comments, maybe
you're good.
But no, it's you know, when you're looking at what they're doing on offense, man. Like, we were talking about the cornerback position. Oh yeah, so that's why you go into the draft with as much flexibility as possible, because if for whatever reason it plays out at, you know, whether it's number 20 or it's 51, or you have an opportunity to trade up in the second round and the corner, you know, a cornerback that you like is the best player available, then you have the freedom to go get that. You're not, you know, putting yourself in a hole or you know, limiting yourself to saying, well, Dante Jackson is our number two cornerback and nothing can change that. Like, no, you can still go into the draft and, you know, something can happen that you might not have foreseen, in which you can still find a way to upgrade the position. And so I think that's what the Steelers ultimately want to do. I think, you know, they're still, you know, a month until the draft. So they still got a ways to go in terms of adding more guys. I think that's what's going to end up happening. I think they're going to try to position themselves the best way they did, same as last year, so that they don't have any glaring weaknesses going into the draft. I think that's the best. And honestly, that's the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. Was there any mention about a potential upgrade at tackle, whether that's draft or free agency? Did anybody ask, or was it talked about either way by Connor Tomlin?
No, there's not really. And anytime there's, I think center was one where they, and it always came with the caveat of like, well, we still have Nate Herbig and everything like that. But The only mention really of tackle at all was specifically about Broderick Jones and his future. You know, Mike Tomlin's pretty committal, or pretty non-committal, I should say, about where he's going to play. Omar Khan really kind of already put that. So they haven't really talked about that. But again, just if you kind of can put two and two together, take what they're saying and then look at the rest of the evidence, I really think tackle is still on their radar. I also know a few other things that I can't quite say just yet. You know, you learn things, but you're not allowed to really talk about them right now. But there are other things that are happening behind the scenes in which I can confidently say that tackle is not off their radar. I'll put it that way. I think I'm safe putting it that way.
Okay. Some important rule changes or rule propositions. One important rule change was struck down today by the NFL, and that is the banning of hip drop tackles.
That was unanimously voted, unanimously approved by the competition committee. Yes. I think whenever they say, because I think I saw like Schefter or somebody like that say, he's on Pat McAfee later or earlier, and he was saying something like maybe not all teams were in favor of it. That, you know, when Rich McKay was talking, Rich McKay is the CEO of the Falcons, but he's also the chairman of the competition committee. And he said it was unanimous. It was definitely unanimous by the competition committee. And remember, Mike Tomlin is on the competition committee.
Yeah.
So that means he voted for the thing to be banned. So, you know, for everybody who's like, well, the NFL's out to get the Steelers, like Mike Tomlin voted on this and he voted for it. So, you know, that's something to remember. So if you want somebody to be mad at, over this, Tomlin is one of those guys. It's just, you know, it's a unanimous vote. He voted for it. Now, he did mention, it was brought up whenever he talked yesterday, and he mentioned that even for him, the concern wasn't necessarily about outlawing that particular play, but how it was going to be officiated. Because I think the one thing that we're seeing with the NFL here in recent years is whenever there's changes made, especially when it comes to when those changes include a penalty, you know, for a team. The big question there is like, okay, now you're putting this in the hands of the officials. Yeah. And we remember like what happened whenever they made pass interference reviewable and how much of a disaster that was and why it only lasted 1 year. Randy brings up a really good point here. You know, it's just so we can, because there are multiple hip drop tackles. And Randy asks, explain what a hip drop tackle is. It's actually the swivel hip drop tackle. That's the way it's actually defined in the language of the rule of the proposal that was approved. So the proposal was, let me pull it up here just so I can read it verbatim.
You go ahead and pull that up. While you do that, it's basic, to put it in a boiled down sense, it's basically when the tackle is made from either behind or the side and he's wrapped around the defender and then basically goes dead weight onto the legs.
The unweighted portion of the rule of the proposal of the language is the most crucial. Rich McKay was very specific about that the unweighted, when a player they just say unweights himself, where he pretty much is wrapping his arms around the ball carrier and then literally lifts his body up off the ground so that his weight has nowhere else to go, thanks to physics and gravity, but to fall down to the ground. And then by that happening, he can then possibly fall on the ball carrier's knees, calves, ankles, feet, and, you know, cause some significant injuries. You saw it with Mark Andrews this past season. So the official like language of the proposal was, if it is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. There's two portions of this. A, and it's got to be both, have to be met. A, grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee.
You know what I can't wait to happen? Someone's going to have to rewrite the word swivel, because that's the key word in there to me that's like, all right, did the guy swivel or not? Like football, like the term football move gets used when it comes to catches.
Yeah.
Swivel's going to be the new buzzword on this.
The one that actually Pat McAfee brought up a really good point earlier today. Brought a really, really good point. What's going to stop offensive players from embellishing?
Oh, absolutely.
What's going to stop offensive? Yeah, well, because already whenever those tackles are most dangerous, you can see the player already fly back, you know, kind of like you know, have that immediate go. So what's going to stop offensive players now from kind of embellishing that a little bit? If they feel hands or arms on their hips, they can might just do that, and then all of a sudden they can get awarded 15 yards. I think that's the – again, that's why when Mike Tomlin brought it up, and again, as a member of the competition committee, it's his and everybody else's job to look at all aspects of – like, yes, this is a tackle we want to get rid of because guys are getting seriously injured from this kind of a tackle, but it comes with its consequences because then you have the possibility of this being not officiated consistently. And that's going to end it because, you know, we're going to have one game in which it's probably called the way it's supposed to, but then you have another one that's a lot more gray area. And now it's like, well, that probably should. And then you have one fan base who's, you know, celebrating the fact that their team got the benefit of the doubt. And then you have another fan base who's completely irate, ready to burn the city down because their team lost and because of that play. And it's just, it's going to cause a lot. I think it's going to cause a lot more strife. I'm really curious to see how it ends up all playing out. I have a bad feeling that when you put more subjectivity into – there's already enough penalties that are subjective to the you know, you have certain ones where it's like, did he grab the face mask or not? Okay, that's pretty easy. But then you have holding because it's like holding can be a bit subjective because, you know, it's all about, you know, momentum and angle and everything like that. Was he actually holding him? Was he not? Pass interference, it's very subjective. You know, when you add more on the plate of the officials to make subjective calls, to me, when the officials are already having a hard enough time being consistent with that stuff, it's just, I don't think it's good for the game. I honestly would rather see this kind of be tabled a little bit more, and I'd honestly rather see the kickoff rule be implemented because that at least doesn't. That I'm not saying that I'm necessarily for it, but that at least doesn't put any kind of more on the plates of the officials. They already have enough there they have to deal with.
They sure do. The subjective calls are the key things because more you add, to me, the more subjective calls you add, the more countermeasures you also have to add. And it sounds to me like they're adding a bunch of new subjective things, but there's no countermeasure to it. So, for example, it's mentioned here in our chat by Mark, the sky judge. I think the NFL needs a sky judge. I think there needs to be somebody on site, up in the booth, up in the box, watching as much as they can to get a second look at things. Because, like, at this point, you're leaving a lot to the – and I'm not going to complain about referees. They have a hard enough job to do. Yeah. But at this point, there's a lot more being left on the referee's plate as far as subjectivity is concerned. And in some cases, in a lot of cases, in fact, it's either getting missed – or it's getting interpreted the wrong way, or it's both. So, like, to me, it's just like, this is okay. I understand banning the tackle. Yeah. I understand all that. But at the same time, they have to make sure that this is a foolproof implementation, whereas right now it doesn't seem like there are. All right, we have a couple minutes left in the show. You're there until Wednesday. Give us a little breakdown of what's kind of happening over the next couple of days there in Orlando.
So they actually might end up wrapping up tomorrow night. That's pretty typical, but sometimes things leak out into Wednesday morning, which is why like I'm not flying out until Wednesday. Like you never know.
Yeah.
And even if they did wrap up Tuesday night, it would be so late Tuesday night that I wouldn't be able to fly out Tuesday anyway. So tomorrow, again, it's just more meetings. It's more and really like today was the jam-packed day. We had Mike Tomlin speaking early this morning. Woke up early to get there, and I was still like, thank God Mike Tomlin was fashionably late.
Tough to get there.
Because it was tough. But no, Mike Tomlin spoke this morning. Omar, he wasn't supposed to speak until 5 o'clock. But then I guess just the way meetings were going and everything like that, they were like, no, we're going to squeeze him in sometime mid-afternoon. And I'm kind of glad they did because now I've got time to write and, you know, kind of decompress a little bit because it's, you know, I've been going at it since, you know, 7 o'clock this morning. So
yeah, you've had a long day.
Yeah. And so, but tomorrow it'll be, you know, more meetings, tomorrow I'll come up here. I'll be writing Chalk Talk while also, you know, keeping track of all of the, you know, whenever the Steelers proposal either gets shot down or approved, you know, I'll be here to you know, report on that. And then once all of the meetings are done tomorrow, no matter what, whether they're done or whether they're just done for the day, Art Rooney II will talk very, very briefly to local reporters here. So we'll get word from him on his stance on everything that passed, everything that failed. You know, we kind of got his perspective on that stuff last year. I'm sure he's going to be asked about the NFLPA player grades. So he was asked about it last year. It would shock me if he's not asked about it again this year. So,
yeah.
We'll see how that, that's kind of pretty much what's on the plate on the agenda for tomorrow. And then, like I said, if anything goes into Wednesday, it'll be Wednesday morning, and then they'll be done. They'll be done here. So, but they usually try to wrap this up, at least the vast majority, if not all the business, by Tuesday evening.
There you go. All right, Chris, you're hard at work. We'll let you go early. We appreciate you jumping in.
I actually did not mind coming on, and I was fully prepared to talk for a while, because, you know what, I've been going back and forth so much. I'm like, you know what, I just got to kind of, this is almost part of the decompression talk.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I leave here, I'm gonna have to go back, and I'm gonna have to start writing again. And yeah, but everything from today, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Steelers feed from today. Yeah. Because we had one, you know, event with all the notes on Mike Tomlin talking. We have another one with all comments from Omar Khan. I got stuff on some of the proposals that have been, you know, approved, not approved. Have one completely on the swivel, hip drop tackle. Yeah, it's a fun event for sure. They'll have a reception for the media tonight. It's a fun night, you know, for us here. It's like the one time we get like, oh, okay, now we get to finally, you know, kind of, you know, sit back a little bit and relax, you know, because it's
a break out a little bit.
Monday's a busy day here, always is. So, if anybody has any final questions or anything like that, or if we didn't possibly cover everything, because there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have to go pick up my kids today. My mother-in-law is doing that today. I'm definitely not flying back to Texas.
There you go. Hey, John makes a point here. There's 45 likes on this episode. To over 200 of you are in here live.
Come on, man. Where are all the likes?
Drop a like. Share the episode. That goes so much further than you guys think. It helps us out a ton. If you wonder why do we say that? What does it help? The word is algorithm. The word is called algorithm. Likes, shares, all of that stuff plays into the algorithm. So somebody that's not subscribed to this channel, which you're not, if you're not subscribed, subscribe. It's free. It's easy. Tap of the button.
Appreciate it.
It helps us get on the homepage. It helps us kind of get a little more reach. So
yeah,
please help us out. That goes a very, very long way.
Yeah.
What else do you got, Chris? What do you think? Yeah.
So there was one thing. There was one thing that I wanted to, because you were mentioning it, and this is just, you know, again, just something that, you know, because my brain's been going since the whole hip drop tackle thing was.
Of course.
Because my brain goes into football mode here. And
I'm still kind of in basketball mode, so I'm getting back into it, obviously, after the last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Empower 1969 makes a good point here. Sky Judge won't fix subjective rules garbage. Now, I don't know if I'd necessarily put it that way, but the way that I will put it is the game of football is inherently subjective. There are certain things that are not. Did the football, you know, break the plane? Did he get 2 feet in bounds? You know, yes, I understand like replay can be hard to see those things, but it's a defined rule. You know, there are certain things that are like, again, did he grab a face mask or not? Was the face mask grabbed or not? But there are so many other parts of this game. It's not like baseball. Did he make contact with the ball or not? Did the ball land in fair territory or foul territory? Did he tag him with the glove before getting to the base? All of that stuff is yes or no. It's not, you know, interpreted by, and that's why I think, like, even you go to the analytics of football and why it's still in its infancy right now is because even stuff with like pass rush win rate and everything like that, that's so widely debated is because one person might look at it and say, yeah, he won his rep. And then another guy might be like, no, he didn't. And so then it's all at the, you know, at the watcher's prejudice at that point. And so when you talk about having more and more rules, putting more into the hands of the officials who are having to make subjective calls, it could possibly hurt the game more than it helps it. And I understand that the NFL, you know, wants to, regardless of how they got there, they want to, you know, improve player safety the best they possibly can while also improving the product. And I think that this is almost overstepping, you know, out looking for player safety into a realm of which, like, you're actually changing the way the game is played. Because, you know, when horse collar tackling was outlawed, that was a little bit different. There was only a few guys doing it, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that was a widespread thing in which, you know, people throughout the league were doing it. And to be fair, whenever they brought up the numbers and everything like that, they said the swivel hip drop tackle happened on average once per game. Right. So it happens. Yes. Yeah. And so that's like one time per game. So if you're watching a full slate of NFL games on a Sunday, that means in each one of those games, it's bound to happen about one time. So that's, it's not like it's happening four or five times a game and it's going to, you know, you're going to have, but what happens when it's that one time? Is the official going to make the call the right way? Or is the official going to be a little bit, is he going to interpret it differently than maybe another official would? And then again, that's where it gets convoluted. That's where it gets really messy, in my opinion. And so that's why I think that at the end of the day, it's not a great idea, but I understand the reason behind it. You want to keep players safe, but
yeah.
Oh boy.
Randy says he's sitting first as March Madness group of 14, thanks to the DK Pittsburgh Sports Intel. My bracket is in shambles right now because I had Kentucky in my championship game. I had Moon Township Stone going far, and he let me down, man.
I didn't even have time to fill out a bracket with me getting my house ready to sell, and you know, obviously getting ready for this, and actually dealing with work even then. And then, yeah, there was no way I was going to have time to even focus on. So I was like, I'm not even going to take the time to fill out a bracket. It's the first time in a long time I haven't filled out a bracket.
As I mentioned, I'm still kind of in basketball brain right now because I had an extended stay. How about that in Omaha, Nebraska with Duquesne? So that was fun to cover. That was fun to see. It was cool to experience Keith Dambrot's final season in college basketball and in that Duke's run. Big game tonight for my Orange, 6 p.m. Syracuse UConn women in the second round. Let's get it, Orange. That's a big one out in Storrs, Connecticut. That's a big one. I love it. I was so locked into March Madness last weekend, and I'm still like basketball brain right now. So you being the football brain here today on the scene and for the fact of this week is really helping me out, get back into the football mindset.
And
I have Pitt's Pro Day coming up Wednesday too. So
So it's really fun for the, you know, it's not just because, you know, Mike Tomlin talks and Omar Khan talks and Art Rooney says, like, all three guys talk this week. It's just, this is where I feel like, you know, you had the official turn into the next year, you know, whenever free agency began. Like, that was when the NFL officially closes the book on the 23-24 season. And now it's turning over the 24-25 season. But this is like the first event. I understand, like, for a lot of fans, it doesn't feel like it's the next year until the draft comes. And then you're like, okay, now it feels like it's next year. But for those of us who cover the team, the owners' meetings or the annual meeting is like the first time we're like, okay, now it feels like we're moving on finally. Yeah. You know, because usually by this point, a lot's happened in free agency where the team does look significantly different. And that is absolutely the case with the Steelers this time around. And also the draft is close enough in which we're like, okay, we're still in that mix of both free agency and draft, but enough's happened where it feels like, okay, now we're starting to look forward. And then it's like literally the next thing we know, the draft's going to be here. And then, oh, by the way, now it's OTAs.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're, you know, back on the south side covering the team. I won't be up there until June or July, but, I'll be on the hills in St. Vincent College in Latrobe. So.
Yes, you will. You better get those calf muscles stretched out. It hasn't changed. Nothing's changed.
I cannot. That's the only time I walk more. The only time I walk, I can possibly rival that with how much I walk is whenever I covered the combine. And that's just because I walked around downtown Indianapolis so much during the combine week. But yeah, Latrobe is a. You get your steps in. There's no doubt about it there.
I had a little bit of
too.
I had a little bit of a different state, Indianapolis, being with family. So that was nice.
Ooh, okay. Really good question to end on here. Just really good, fun one. Pittsburgh Hornets, which team will win the playoff game first, the Steelers or the Penguins? That's a really good question. The Penguins look like they – at least it feels like the Steelers are trending in the right direction. Like as a whole, like there are still questions, and I'm not saying that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are the automatic answer, but it feels like I keep going back to the fact that this team won 10 games last year with shoddy quarterback play until the final 3 weeks of the season. And then all they needed to look like a legitimate NFL offense was competent quarterback play, competent, not even great. Like, let's just have the dude drop back in the pocket, make his reads, and make his throws. Like, that's all it was. We didn't need anything spectacular out of Mason Rudolph. And then all of a sudden, they win 10 games, and they make the playoffs. So, I mean, shoot, if they get anything better than that, even a slight, like, even just a little bit better. Like, we're not talking like they need, again, they don't need Russell Wilson or Justin Fields to be Superman. They just need them to be adequate and competent. Those are the best words that I can use. And then with the way the defense should look – maybe I'm going to say the Steelers. I'm going to say the Steelers win a playoff game because the Penguins look like they're just falling apart. Man. It's bad.
If you had asked me that question at the beginning of winter with the answer would have been Duquesne. Oh. The answer would have been Duquesne Hoops, which is kind of funny, between Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Pitt football or basketball, because Pitt basketball declined their postseason after they were shunned out of the NCAA tournament, and then Duquesne. And the answer to that was at that time, Duquesne. But they have already won their playoff game. So by this point, the Steelers will take a playoff win before the Penguins do. I think the Penguins are hitting that reset button.
And again, and Mark makes a good point here, the 10 wins, they went 5-1 in the toughest division in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody in that division finished 500 or better. That it's the best division in football. They went 5-1. Again, with shoddy quarterback play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, they had good quarterback play in two games. It was, the two Cincinnati games, one was Kenny and one was Mason. And I think that's might be a testament more to how bad the Bengals were on defense, but still, man, it's just, again, they get adequate, competent quarterback play, but the way the defense should, I don't know. I still think Steelers probably win. I'm not saying they're all, they're going to make it to a conference championship or anything, but let's see how the draft goes.
James, yes. Ramon and DK today in about 20 minutes, maybe 15. And Robert says, when UConn wins tonight, Corey will be wearing a UConn hat tomorrow. Robert, no, I will not. And all I could say to you is March 13th, 2009. Chris, do you know what happened on March 13th, 2009? That is when Syracuse outlasted UConn in the Big East quarterfinal, 127-117, six overtimes. That's what happened on that famed date. Shout out to Johnny Flynn on that one. No, I will not be wearing a UConn hat tomorrow. Get out of here with that nonsense.
For the Bucko fans in the chat, really quick, because I know this is a football thing, but for the Bucko fans in the chat, I just have to give, like, Jared Jones making the opening day roster, I can't tell you how refreshing that is to see an organization like the Pirates make a decision like that.
Paul Skeens is at AAA.
But hey, I think I understand a little bit. They invested a lot more in Paul Skeens than they did in Jared Jones.
True.
So I understand them possibly wanting to keep Paul Skeens for an extra 4 months than they would normally keep him. So, I don't know. But I just think that was really cool.
Hey, Henry Davis made the opening day roster, too.
If we throw the Pirates into that conversation, do the Pirates win a playoff game before either the Steelers or the Penguins? With the way the baseball playoffs are now?
You never know. I mean, you have to be just kind of okay to get in, and then you never know. Brent asked, the last date I wore a UConn hat. Never. I have never in my life, in my 30-plus years of existence on this world, have never wore a UConn hat. Robert says I'm living in the past. Listen, I'm not wearing UConn gear. And look, I love the old Big East, okay? And look, I still talk about a certain buzzer beater at half court. at in Oakland against Pitt, Syracuse Pitt. I won't talk about the name with that certain buzzer beater to save you all the pain, but I'll just leave it that way. Listen, that old Big East, and Hoya sucks us still, okay? I still don't like Georgetown, even though Syracuse-Georgetown is not a conference rivalry anymore. Chris, how hot is it there in Florida?
77 degrees and perfect.
Woo!
Perfect.
Do you ship sticks those golf clubs down is the question.
I did not. And I wish I would have.
Yeah.
I wish I would have. I would have played Sunday morning and I would have played because Sunday, I fly in Saturday night. And so, Sunday morning, you're pretty much waiting around for Mike Tomlin to talk at 2:00. And so it's like, I could wake up early and go play a round of golf real quick. I get a 7:00 tee time. I could be done by 9:30. But the way I play fast. I could be done by 9:30, 10:30. I could be done by 10:30, 7:00 tee time, be done 3.5 hours. And then, I know there are some other people. There are a lot of other people who are here that have definitely played golf, multiple rounds of golf.
I'm sure Dale brought his.
I don't think Dale did.
Oh, I would expect Dale to bring his. Dale, if you're listening, and we know that you are, we love you, man. We love you, Dale. Is there a DK golf league? No, there's not, Robert. We are not in a golf league together. I don't think we've ever had one. To my knowledge, we haven't.
No, you and I haven't played together yet, but we can.
We will once you get back here.
Yeah, once I'm up there, we'll definitely play.
That's for sure. All right, DK and Ramon in about 15 minutes. We're getting out of here. Chris is going to go do a little more work. We appreciate all of what you're doing there, Chris.
First all, money my way through this Omar Khan thing.
You're killing it there, sir. Nice job.
I'll actually tell you, I'm actually going to combine a lot of what Omar said today and what Mike said this morning. And, yesterday I was focusing on the offense. Now I'm going to focus on the defense. And then Chalk Talk, which I'm working on tomorrow, will come out Wednesday. I'm going to look at Dante Jackson, look at his film, look at his data, see how that possibly looks out if he's the CB2.
There you go.
See how that looks. So a little preview of what's coming up. And then also, obviously, owners meeting stuff tomorrow too. So
will we have you tomorrow?
It depends on whenever Art talks.
We'll find out then.
If Art Rooney talks later, which I think last year it was kind of later. It was like evening-ish. It was like around 5. If it's around that time, then I should be able to. But if it's going to run into this, then probably not. Just depends on when they get done with meetings.
I'll look for a text from you sometime mid-afternoon then. 100%. How about that? All right, DK and Ramon in about 13 minutes now. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Chris, and this has been the Southside Beat. Chris is in Orlando. I'm home. You have me all week at least. Chris will be back in Pennsylvania Wednesday at some point.
I will not be on the show Wednesday.
Texas, rather.
Will not be on the show Wednesday because I'll be flying back.
You'll be in the air. Yep.
I'll be at the airport, but I'll be boarding actually in the middle of the show. So,
yeah, I was Friday. I was in the middle of Keith Dambrot and Brad Underwood's press conferences in Omaha. So could not make the show then, but I'm here all week. Chris will be here maybe all week except Wednesday. We'll see. So at least Thursday, Friday on the other side.
Yep.
All right, we're out of here. DK and Ramon in 12 minutes now. See you all. Have a good day. Peace.